From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right, you are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, April 14th, 2016. What a night it was in the National Basketball Association, folks. You had the Golden State Warriors eclipsing the win record in the NBA, and you also had one of the most memorable salutes to an icon in the world of sports, and more specifically the game of basketball, as Kobe Bean Bryant played his final game in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. We will have plenty of chatter on both the Warriors and Kobe Bryant. We will also be inviting Max Gunn, radio broadcaster and media relations assistant for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes baseball team. That's the Advanced A affiliate for the L.A. Dodgers. Max will talk about his time out in L.A. and how the Dodgers look this year. Also, we will have plenty of Detroit Tigers talk for you, as the Tigers are actually underway right now as we speak. And we'll give you guys a score update on how the Tigers look throughout this hour. Also, on the back end of the show, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? And we invite the one, the only Brett Cass to the show with Brett's Bonehead Moves. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Let's get this party started with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, folks, in his final game, Kobe Bean Bryant, that's right, the Black Mamba, the man, the myth, the legend. I could keep going here. He went out with the bang, all right? Shaq challenged Kobe to hit 50 points, and guess what? Kobe had 60 points last night in his final game on the NBA hardwood. Unbelievable stuff. This all en route to a huge 101-96 victory over the Utah Jazz, an appropriate send-off for one of the game's greatest players. Now, we want to encourage you all to call in, and I want to know what your thoughts were about Kobe's farewell game last night, and where do you think Kobe Bryant sits in basketball lore? Call in 517-355-9527. We also want you to weigh in on the Golden State Warriors. The record has fallen. The Golden State Warriors have set a new NBA record of 73-9, the most wins ever in a single regular season. It eclipses, of course, the 95-96 Bulls 72-10 record. Steph Curry knocked down a team-leading 46 points, including his 400th three-pointer. The previous record, held, of course, by MJ's 95-96 Bulls, was 72-10, as I just mentioned. And the debate turns now to which team will win a seven-game series. What do you think between the Bulls and the Warriors? Again, the Warriors still have to finish the deal, in my opinion, but still a magical season nonetheless. All right, the Detroit Pistons, folks, they are set to open the playoffs this Sunday in Cleveland against LeBron James and the Cavaliers. That will be the first playoff game for the Pistons since 2009. And head coach Stan Van Gundy will have to build a wall to stop King James. You remember that moment, don't you? Tip-off is set on Sunday for 3 p.m. All right, folks, the WNBA draft is tonight. The Seattle Storm are officially on the clock as they will be selecting first in tonight's draft. UConn center Breanna Stewart, who dominated women's college hoops this season, is seen to be a lockdown for the number one overall pick. And, hey, keep in mind that former Michigan State star Ariel Powers, she will go in the draft tonight as well. She has been projected by many publications to be actually a top five pick. The draft starts tonight at 7 p.m. and will be broadcast on ESPN2. The Detroit Red Wings opened up their 25th consecutive Stanley Cup playoff appearance with a loss on the road to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Detroit had, in fact, a 2-1 lead over the Lightning in the second period. But Sloppy D led to Tampa getting the equalizer and the game winner to take a 1-0 series lead. Detroit was 0-5 on the power play as well. The Detroit Tigers defeated the Pittsburgh Pirates last night 7-3 with catcher James McCann on the 15-day disabled list, Jarrett Salitamakia stepped up and saved the day. Literally, down 2-1 with two outs in the sixth inning, Salty came up with bases loaded and hit a grand slam home run to put the Tigers up 5-2, and it was a lead they did not give up.
Driven deep in the air to right field, way back. This one is going to go. It's a home run for Salitamakia, and the Tigers have their first lead of the night.
All right, folks, Shane Green had his first start since shoulder surgery in August and went six innings, giving up three hits and two runs while striking out seven. Right now, the Tigers are underway in Pittsburgh, and due to internet issues, I can't give you the score right now. So bear with us, folks. All right, Michigan football running back Drake Johnson was taken to the hospital yesterday after being involved in an accident at Michigan's indoor track facility. Johnson is a hurdler on the track and field team. He was reportedly able to walk away from the incident and later posted a tweet that read, quote, "All I can say is thank God," end quote. So good news that it's nothing serious. And last but certainly not least, Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the Michigan football program. He was having a little fun last night dancing on stage at a Migos concert. Migos is a hip-hop group. That's right, Harbaugh, he donned his khakis on stage with the Atlanta-based rap group at their concert in Ann Arbor. Harbaugh, I tell you, he's everywhere, folks. Gotta love him. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of today's show, you know that number. You probably got it locked in your phone right now. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, hey, how about we start the show?
How fast 20 years went by. Man, this is crazy. To be standing here at center court with you guys, my teammates behind me, and appreciating all this, the journey that we've been on. And all I can do here is just thank you guys. Thank you guys for all the years of support. Thank you guys for all the motivation. Thank you for all the inspiration. You guys will always be in my heart. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. And I love you guys. And Mamba out.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Thursday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. So honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I'm still recovering from just the NBA madness that took place last night, folks. Not only did you have one of the greatest players to ever play the game in Kobe Bryant on the hardwood for his final hoorah, but also the Golden State Warriors eclipsed the NBA record set by the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls, that 72-10 season. The Warriors getting 73 wins. Unbelievable, folks. I have a basketball hangover from last night. I did not go to bed. My head did not hit the pillows until about 3 a.m. Yeah, 3 a.m., folks. I was up just watching the post-game press conference. I watched Kobe Bryant's entire press conference and then turned over and saw comments from Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. What a night of NBA basketball. Arguably, and you can make this argument too, and I saw this on Facebook.com, and Ryan Slocum, dear friend of the show, who's a sports reporter and anchor for ABC 12 out in Flint, Michigan, and he poses the question, was that the greatest night in NBA history? Was it? With Kobe playing his final game and throwing up 6-0, and then the Warriors setting, again, the record, 73 wins in 1 year. Both games happening on the same night. Was that the greatest night in NBA history? There's so much to debate on today's show, folks. And I must say, you know, I probably watched in total about 5 minutes of the Golden State Warriors game. I wasn't glued to my television last night watching the Warriors because, hey, the Warriors, the writing was on the wall. You know what I mean? For me, I mean, when looking at that game last night, it was a blowout throughout much of it, especially how the Golden State Warriors started that game. Steph Curry was just absolutely hot. It looked like the writing was on the wall and the Golden State Warriors were going to cruise to that 73rd win. So I spent the majority of last night tuned into actually ESPN2, witnessing the Kobe Bryant show. And it was so interesting watching how ESPN covered that. And they showed outside of the Staples Center how there were murals and posters plastered of Kobe Bryant on the Staples Center itself. Then I saw there was a revolving cube that on each side of the cube, there was an LCD screen that played nonstop moments of Kobe Bryant's career. I saw, you know, individuals outside of the Staples Center engaging in a hoop fest in honor of Kobe's career. Also, the train station in L.A. was renamed as the Kobe Station for that day. Just absolutely remarkable. And then after things were said and done, they had balloons that fell from the top of the rafters with also small round circles that had Kobe's number 24. So those came down from the rafters. And then on the court, for those watching the game, you saw that Kobe's two numbers that he wore throughout his NBA career, the number 24 and number 8, were actually painted on the hardwood. What a send-off. And I didn't even get to the countless celebrities that were in the house. The star power in the house at the Staples Center was certainly remarkable. From the likes of Jay-Z to Kanye West, to Arsenio Hall, to George Lopez, to Paula Abdul, to, of course, Jack. I don't even have to say Jack's last name. I mean, a longtime Laker fan. Jack was in the house and even spoke to ESPN's Lisa Salters during the broadcast. So it was such a heavy moment and a fitting way to end the career of a man who, throughout much of his career, was a villain. He played the role of the villain throughout much of his career, especially going back to the whole situation in which he was accused of rape back in Colorado and having to really just come back to the league and many people booing him when he was on the road. And that's when he actually created that alter ego entitled The Black Mamba. He actually took it from a Quentin Tarantino movie entitled Kill Bill. And he adopted that persona and he embraced that villain role and used it really as fuel throughout his NBA career. And last night was really a fantastic synopsis of what Kobe Bryant's career has always been about, okay? Kobe has always been, you know, noted as a high-volume shooter. he's not afraid to chuck it up there, folks. He's always been, in many ways, bashed for this stigma that Kobe Bryant does not pass the basketball. And it really was to my surprise that we even saw a couple of assists from Kobe Bryant last night throughout that game against Utah. But it was just so fitting, you know, for Kobe Bryant to go out that way. And I found myself watching that game, especially, man, in that second half, where Kobe just, you know, and you could tell his teammates wanted him to just throw up shots left and right. I mean, he shot, what, like 50 times, all right? There's only been, like four other players that have done that in NBA history. But with that being said, who cares about how many shots Kobe Bryant threw up? We knew that he was going to chuck it up. This is his final game, folks. So we knew that he was going to take a lot of shots. We didn't know that he was going to take about 50 of them, but we knew he was going to take a lot of shots from the floor. But what amazed me was that at Kobe's age, I mean, we're talking about a 37-year-old here. At Kobe's age, to go out there and to play the majority of that game at a high level, Utah, they were throwing bodies at him left and right to sort of slow him down or try to slow him down, but it just wouldn't work. And we saw a glimpse of what Kobe Bryant used to be. And, you know, I found myself watching that game on my couch when Kobe started getting really hot in that fourth quarter. I mean, I was jumping up and down, yelling, clapping. I felt like a fan. And I'm pretty sure I woke up my neighbors. I kid you not, folks. And I was watching this take place, and when he went to that free throw line and eclipsed number 6-0, I said to myself that this will go down as the most memorable farewell in sports history. Is it the greatest farewell in sports history? Is it the most meaningful farewell in sports history? No. Well, let's be real here, okay? I mean, it isn't like the Lakers were fighting, you know, in the playoffs here. This wasn't a playoff game. This didn't have playoff implications, you know? And in comparison to some of the greats, when you look at other greats in the sporting world who had their respective farewell games, I think of the likes of John Elway. You know, John Elway going out on top with the Denver Broncos and winning a Super Bowl. I think of, you know, on that same token, with that same team, the Denver Broncos, with Peyton Manning now announcing his retirement, winning a Super Bowl and topping Cam Newton's Carolina Panthers. That was a fitting way to go out. I think of Bill Russell, you know, a player coach for the Boston Celtics, his final game, game 7 against the LA Lakers, winning another ring. That's pretty good. I mean, I could go on and on and on here. I think of Michael Jordan now. When it comes to Jordan, if Jordan would have said goodbye to the game of basketball with the patented pat on the butt with Brian Russell, game winner for his 6th ring, and if he would have rode into the sunset with that memory, oh my goodness. I mean, that's also up there. But Kobe Bryant going out with the world watching him, with celebrities in the building, with people paying, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for courtside seats for this event, with tribute videos from, you know, NBA lore, you know, talking about his greatness before the ball even went up in the air for the tip. I mean, that right there alone was memorable. But Kobe going out there and putting on a complete show. And, you know, I listened to those who, media pundits who were actually in the building at the Staples Center to witness that. You know, guys like Stephen A. Smith from ESPN, Kerry Champion, Michael Wilbon, Stan Ferret. Those guys who were there to witness that. I mean, they talked about, and even Mike Tirico and Hubie Brown, who actually did the broadcast last night for ESPN, they mentioned how this felt like a playoff atmosphere, like how it felt like a finals game, you know? And every time that ball went through the net, you saw the crowd go absolutely nuts, especially in that fourth quarter when Kobe really started to get hot. And I also want to note this, and this hasn't been brought up a lot here, and people have been, you know, the Kobe haters out there, yeah, a few of them still exist, they are bringing up how it took Kobe 50 shots to get to number 60, all right? Yeah, that may and well be true. But at the same time, without Kobe going off for 60, they probably would have lost that game. They won the game at the end of the day, folks. They beat Utah. They got the dub, and that's all that matters when you talk about the world of sports. So just a fitting way for Kobe to go out, and he didn't want to take off his jersey. He sat in the press conference with his 24 gold Lakers uniform on and addressed the media. But, man, it will go down. I mean, this is something that, you know, when decades pass and people talk about Kobe Bryant, you better believe that in that conversation, many people are going to bring up that night, April 13th, 2016, at the Staples Center, Kobe's final game and how Kobe went out with the bang, 60 points. So I want to pose a question. What did you think of last night? What do you think Kobe Bryant's legacy is? And where does he fit when it comes to the all-time greatest Lakers to ever play the game? Because Magic Johnson went up and he had a great speech before throwing to the tribute video and bringing Kobe Bryant out to get a standing ovation before tip-off. He had a great speech in which he mentioned that Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time. Now, I think that's just Magic being Magic. Magic being a nice guy, being the classy individual that he is. But I know in the hearts of many, many people do believe that still Magic Johnson is the greatest Laker to ever play. So where do you put Kobe on that list? I mean, when you evaluate guys like Jerry West, when you evaluate, you know, guys like Wilt Chamberlain, heck, when you evaluate personnel like a Shaquille O'Neal, where do you put Kobe Bryant when it comes to Laker legacy? I want to know. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, you can go to facebook.com/currentsports or also even tweet me at AlMartinWKR if you want to weigh in on the conversation. And how about also the Golden State Warriors? I think the Golden State Warriors took a back seat last night to Kobe Bryant's farewell. Because, I mean, again, it was for the most part a blowout, and, you know, we saw that from the very start of that game, but hats off to the Warriors nonetheless, and, you know, this is a team that we'll see in the playoffs. It's not like, you know, we won't see the Warriors again, you know, for the rest of this NBA year. We won't see Kobe Bryant again, so I devoted much of my time last night watching Kobe Bean do his thing. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, my friend. What a night.
Yeah.
What a night.
You can call in and talk about the Warriors if you want. You'll be talking about the wrong thing, though. Kobe Bryant was the storyline last night. And now, it took you, and this is how it's taken everybody so much time to get to the fact that the Lakers won this game. Mm-hmm. Now, 60 points is awesome, and it took him 50 shots to do it. He made 22. First off, that is not that inefficient of a field goal percentage. That's 44%. If you go 4 of 9, that's almost equivalent. That's not that bad of a day at the office. Now, he took way more of a volume than you'd expect, but at the same time, this is his curtain call. This is the last game that we will ever see Kobe Bean Bryant, the Black Mamba, play, and this is what you expected. Nothing more, nothing less.
I didn't expect this.
I
thought 25 points, man.
Really?
At the most. I'm like, all right. Then when he got rolling and he had 21, I think, at halftime.
Yep.
I think it was 21 at halftime. I'm sitting there saying, okay, he's on pace for 40. If he gives me 40, I'm a happy man.
Well,
But man, 60? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I think 22-21 at halftime. Because I said before the game, wouldn't it be something if he got 50? Wouldn't it be something? With 17 prior 15-point games, 5 prior 16-point games,
right,
having racked up 40 on every single association in the NBA. And yet, Kobe, I mean, he went out and did something totally astounding. He got 23. You wanted 25 of them. He got 23 in the fourth quarter. He scored 15 of his team's last 17 points and was responsible for the other two, which were a Jordan Clarkson breakaway dunk, which was kind of just to rub it in the face of the Jazz that they got beat by a 39-year-old man or however old Kobe is.
37, yeah.
37. Mm-hmm. And Kobe, what amazed me is he was double-teamed throughout this game. He was
right.
37. He was so past his prime, bad knees and everything, and he was double-teamed, hitting shots over him. And I just can't say enough about this. I hated the Mamba throughout my career as a basketball fan. I still do. But there couldn't have been a better walk away from the stage.
It was fantastic, man. I even almost got a little emotional watching his final speech, sitting there, and you saw all of his former teammates come out. And it really took me back because, you know, I was born October 7th, 1990. And when I really started to become an NBA fan around, you know, like 10 years old, and I was always an NBA fan, I grew up an NBA fan, but when I really started to understand the NBA game, I was around like 10 or 11 years old, and some of the guys who became my heroes growing up were guys like Allen Iverson, guys like Ray Allen, you know, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady. You know, that class alone was so good, dude. An unbelievable era. It was the post-Jordan era, and everyone was sitting there saying, okay, Jordan's gone now. Who's going to grab the reins of the league now? And those were a few of the names that stepped into that role. Stephon Marbury, he's also a name that comes up. I mean, and looking at Kobe Bryant's career, I agree with you, Isaac. Throughout much of my basketball fandom growing up in my youth, you know, I sat there and said, man, I don't like Kobe Bryant. You know, he played for the Lakers. Of course, the Lakers were a natural rival of the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons beat the Lakers, you know, when it came to that 04 finals with Shaquille O'Neal, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and Kobe Bryant. I'm sitting there saying to myself, yeah, that's what you get, Kobe. And,
exactly.
And then his career went on. But I've always said this, though. I may have not have been the biggest Kobe fan, but I have always admired Kobe. I've always admired and just awed at his work ethic throughout the game. And I tell you what, folks, if you are a Kobe fan or if you just like basketball, there was an article written that out of all the tributes that I've read throughout the entire week, this one had my jaw was on the floor. Jackie McMullen of ESPN, she wrote a piece profiling Kobe's inspirations throughout his youth. And she wrote a piece that centered around a moment in which Kobe was, I believe he was a rookie in the league, and he's sitting there working out and he's doing squats, and he gets a phone call on his cell, and he looks at the phone and he's at first like, I don't know that number, I'm gonna let it go to voicemail, but he picks up the phone and guess who it is? It's Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson calls Kobe and he's like, you know what, Kobe? You know, I've been following your career, and I've seen that you have a lot of the qualities that I had when I was first starting off in music. You are absolutely obsessed with your craft. Because Kobe was an oddball. You know, Kobe, when his teammates were going out and partying on road trips, he was in his hotel room looking at film, trying to become better. He was an oddball, and he was isolated from his teammates because he was striving for something bigger. He wanted to become great, not just good at the game of basketball. And Mike saw that. And Mike, you know, invited Kobe actually to Neverland, the Neverland Ranch, and he had the most unbelievable talk about greatness, what greatness means. And it's profiled, and Jackie also goes from that moment to the relationship that Kobe had with Michael Jordan, the relationship that Kobe had with Magic Johnson, which there was a two-hour conversation in which Kobe happened to get to the Staples Center early and ran into Magic, and they had a two-hour conversation where they just went at it. They had a rocky relationship. They went at it for 2 hours. And I won't spoil, you know, the specifics of what the conversation entailed. But it was just amazing how Kobe was so obsessed with greatness that You know, he would reach out, and he wasn't afraid to reach out to anybody who was great at the game. And there was even a conversation where he hits up, you know, Larry Bird on the golf course. And Larry's like, oh, who is this? He's like, yeah, it's Kobe, man. You know, you mind if I pick your brain a little bit? Kobe was obsessed at becoming great. And he was one of the last breeds that we'll look at and say, okay, that kid just wants to go out there and win. He doesn't just want to win, though. He wants to stomp on your throat. He is the last of a dying breed in that regard. It's very rare that we have that in today's league. But I encourage anyone to read that piece. Again, Jackie McMullen of ESPN, she did a great job of profiling what greatness means to Kobe Bryant. So, but yeah, he's going to be missed. And when it comes to Kobe Bryant's, you know, legacy, I want to ask, Isaac, where do you put Kobe Bryant in the all-time great Lakers section? Is he top five? Is he number two? Is he three? Is he four? Is he five? I mean, where would you put him?
Well, Magic said he's the best Laker ever.
That's Magic being Magic.
I do have to contest that. Magic's the most unselfish right. NBA player you can ever point to. But at the same time, I think Kobe, you can make a debate for that. Mm-hmm. I give it to Kareem, number two. I give it to Magic, number one. I give it to Kobe, number three. I put him above Shaq if we're just talking about the contributions that these players made to the franchise. Now, I'm very conflicted in the Kobe-Shaq argument for all-time
player. What about Wilt? What does Wilt stand in?
Wilt so you put had Kobe so many of his great seasons with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Right.
I put him a little bit more towards number five, probably. Maybe George Mikan or Jerry West
you gotta
six.
No, I think Jerry West top five. You got to put
who do you throw you out put the of that logo. List, though?
You got to put the logo in
but
top five.
I would who do you go, throw out of the list?
I would go Magic, number one. I think that's an obvious one. I also obviously. Agree with you with Kareem. Kareem, number two. Number three, and I'm conflicted with this. I kind of went back with Wilt or Kobe. I may go with Kobe just because he's the only player in franchise in basketball history to play with one team for 20 years. So I may go Kobe three.
So same top three.
Wilt four. Okay. Jerry 5. That's what
right.
my top 5
is. No Shaq.
Shaq 6, yes. Because Shaq played with so many different teams, man. It was like,
that's
all right.
Thing.
You know what I mean? Even though Shaq was great. Don't get me wrong, he was fantastic as a Laker. But, he went, you know, and played for other teams. He was with, you know, went to Miami Heat. That relationship between Kobe and Shaq was just so, you know, and I sat there and watched those two embrace last night, and I said to myself, man, if Shaq would have stayed, if they could have worked things out,
I know.
I think Kobe would have gotten more rings than Jordan.
Well, it was one or the other is
right.
the thing.
Exactly, and exactly.
The Lakers pick Kobe. Not a bad pick at the end of the day with Gasol, of course, coming in, winning another two. So it worked out. Kobe, at the end of the day, I was thinking of the adjectives I'd used to describe him. An arrogant, competitive, smug, winner.
Exactly.
At
He's
the end
a champion.
Of the day, winner.
Exactly. Folks, call in. What do you think about the legacy of Kobe Bryant? Also, the Golden State Warriors eclipsing the 1995-1996 Chicago Bulls record of 72-10. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting baseball with Max Gunn, radio broadcaster and media relations assistant for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes baseball team, the Advanced A affiliate for the LA Dodgers. Don't go anywhere. Don't do it. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I have to remind you all that, hey, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday night on WKAR-TV, Current Sports TV airs. That's right, 10:30 p.m., I will be chatting with motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter. You don't want to miss that. DeAndre will talk about his new book entitled Demand Greatness, Success is Yours. If you need some motivation, if you're feeling a bit down and out, you don't want to miss tonight's show. DeAndre will also dive into his motivational speaking with athletes and teams and how he approaches that in comparison to the everyday talks that he does. So if you want to catch that again, motivational speaker and author DeAndre Carter is my guest tonight on Current Sports TV. Catch it, 10:30 p.m. on WKAR TV. All right, let's bring on our guest for today's Current Sports. I tell you what, it has been an absolute pleasure to watch his young career blossom, and this is just the beginning for him. I actually got a chance to work with him back when I was in college. I was a senior. He was a young pup here at Michigan State University, an aspiring broadcaster, and now he is making it really come to fruition as a professional in the business now. His name is Max Gunn, radio broadcaster and media relations assistant for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes baseball team, the Advanced A affiliate for the L.A. Dodgers. Max, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Al. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's always great hearing from you. And I got to ask, with you being out in Cali, did you get a chance at all to experience the Kobe Bryant hoopla that I saw on my television out in L.A. last night? Now, I know Rancho Cucamonga is like, what, 58 minutes away from L.A., if I'm correct, almost an hour away. But, I mean, what's the atmosphere been like in Cali when it comes to Kobe's retirement?
It was pretty crazy, man. And we had a game last night, so unfortunately I was only able to see the highlights of the game. But, right. You know, as we were live tweeting between innings and whatnot, I mean, our Twitter feed was just flooded with Kobe Bryant stuff. So we were able to keep up with what he was doing all of last night. And, you know, we were giving updates throughout the broadcast as well because, you know, people simply wanted to know what Mamba was doing, and it was incredible. But you can feel it for sure. I mean, it's in the air. Once he scored 60 points, our PA announcer actually, told everybody at the ballpark what had happened, and that was probably the loudest cheer of the night, to be honest with you. So
wow.
It's definitely real out here.
That's unbelievable stuff. Max, were you a Kobe fan growing up at all?
You know what, I was. I always loved Kobe. I respected the heck out of him. He was one of the tremendous players. You know, I wish I was able to appreciate him more, if I was a little bit older. But, you know, when he came into the league, I was so young, so I really didn't start to pick up on Kobe Bryant until, you know, the 2003, 2004, when the Pistons played them in the finals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just such a sensational player. And after coming back from all those injuries, when you take a look at, you know, LeBron, he's never really had a major injury in his entire career. He's never really had to come back from anything. And then with Kobe Bryant, with, you know, the Achilles and then the shoulder injury and then the broken leg after the Achilles, I mean, he's just had to battle through so much in his entire career. And five championships isn't bad either. Can't take that away from him. So he's an incredible player, and he'll be missed.
Yes, he certainly will. All right, Max, let's talk about your journey to Rancho Cucamonga with the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes baseball team. Again, the Advanced A affiliate for the L.A. Dodgers. Because, again, Max, as I mentioned, I remember when you were here at Michigan State University and you were working with the Big Ten Network student you doing baseball broadcast and working directly with Rick Church, who was the director of broadcasting here at Michigan State. Can you take us back to that moment here at Michigan State and how everything panned out for you to get the job out in California?
Well, I got to say, this is pretty surreal for me right now because, like you said, when I first met you and 5 or 6 years ago, whenever it was, and you were, a senior at the Big Ten Network and I was a freshman,
right.
And now here we are. You've got your own radio show and I'm on as your guest. I mean, that's pretty cool. Whoever would have thought.
Right.
So this is definitely pretty surreal right now.
It definitely is. And I remember that moment, man, and I knew you had the eye of the tiger. And you just made me feel old there. I can't believe it. Time flies. Time really flies,
man. Sure.
But I remember when I first met you, man, I knew you had the eye of the tiger. I mean, you know, you just really wanted it, and you were good at it, without a doubt. You know, how did things pan out, though, for that opening to open up for you out in Rancho Cucamonga?
Well, I've always been interested in broadcasting my entire life. I knew from a very young age that sports reporting and or play-by-play, which is my main passion, was what I wanted to do, and I got my start in high school. I was very lucky, Al, from the standpoint that my high school, Andover High School in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, was one of just 1% of high schools in the entire state of Michigan that actually had their own flagship radio station. So I got to host my own sports talk show every week for my junior and senior year of high school, as well as call play-by-play for my high school's football and basketball teams. And after doing that, that's when I knew that 120%, this is what I wanted to pursue as a career. And that's part of the reason I chose Michigan State, was because of their outstanding, as you know, broadcast journalism program. And so once I got to East Lansing, I got involved right away, like you said, at Big Ten Network Student U. And I was able to do some play-by-play there. I did some men's basketball, baseball, softball, soccer, and even wrestling, Al. I even dipped in a little wrestling. And that was an interesting experience. But I'm glad I got it under my belt, because who knows when I may have to do that again.
I'm telling you, it's so tough to have to do play-by-play for wrestling. Two men grappling on each other on a mat. I don't know how you even call that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, Max. I don't know.
Yeah, it was tough. Luckily, the analyst that was with me was a former wrestler, so
okay.
He kind of took the lead and explained all the terminology. But yeah, that was a battle, and I'm glad I was able to get through it. But then the final step of this journey really happened last summer when I was the broadcaster for the Battle Creek Bombers, which is a team in the Northwoods League. The Northwoods League is a summer collegiate wood bat league for college baseball players to play in during the summer. And it's essentially the same thing as the Cape Cod League. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Except, no, I haven't.
It's a lot more games than the Cape Cod League and a lot more travel. The Cape League is one of the most prestigious summer leagues for college baseball players, and the Northwoods is a very close second right up there as well. And I think the Cape plays 40 or so games over the course of the summer, so they play about 3 or 4 games a week. While in the Northwoods League, we played 72 games in 76 days. So it was one heck of a grind the entire summer. You travel all throughout the Midwest. It's really a simulated short season, minor league season, with all the travel and the day-in, day-out games. So I came away loving that experience, and I still like baseball, believe it or not, after 72 games in 76 days.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is. But I came back stronger from that, and I knew that it was time to break in professionally once I graduated Michigan State this past December. And now here I am, very fortunate and lucky to be at the high A level in Rancho.
Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Max Gunn, radio broadcaster and media relations assistant for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes baseball team, the Advanced A affiliate for the L.A. Dodgers. And, Max, you know, just a minute ago, you rattled off the amount of sports that you broadcasted throughout your time here at Michigan State. Why did you develop such an affinity for the game of baseball?
That's a great question, Alan. Everyone always asks me that. It's just always been my favorite sport. I don't know what it is. I just love baseball. They call us baseball snaps. And no matter what it is, you know, I just love the game, and, you know, I love watching all 9 innings, and it's just the greatest game in the world. It's America's pastime, and I just love it. You know, my grandfather loved it, so I grew up watching games with him. My dad was always a big baseball guy, and I love all sports, don't get me wrong, but baseball is certainly number one for me, and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the complexity of baseball as well, and all the minor league teams, and watching all the prospects develop and things of that nature.
So, Max, can you kind of sort of expound on your title? Because I know, of course, you do the radio broadcast with the Quakes, but also, you know, your title is media relations assistant. Can you sort of break down what your title is?
Sure. So what that basically means is I help out in everything media relations and broadcast related for the entire team. So I write the daily game notes each day. I write the post-game story on the team website. I deal with all the media requests. And then in addition to that, I also broadcast the games. I broadcast the middle 3 innings, innings 4, 5, and 6. And I also am on the pre- and post-game show on the Quakes flagship radio station. And in the minor leagues, you know, you got to kind of have a hand in everything. Although media relations isn't, you know, exactly what I want to do ultimately full-time is I hopefully advance throughout the minor leagues. It's just something you have to do down here, and you got to have a hand in everything. You have to be willing to do it, but it's also a good experience as well, because writing is everything, as you know, Al.
Right.
And writing helps your broadcasting so much. So that's a little bit about what I do here in Rancho, and I'm having a heck of a time so far.
Yeah, and that title sort of reminds me of what Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, the play-by-play voice, excuse me, of the Lansing Lugnuts, what he does up here. I mean, he not only broadcasts the game, but afterwards. He writes up the postgame report and sends it out to the respective media here in the area. So, yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's dive into – I want to dive into the Dodgers. Of course, with the Quakes being the advanced day affiliate for the L.A. Dodgers, what do the Dodgers look like this year, Max, as they compete in the NL West? I know they lost – Zach Greinke in free agency, a big hole in the rotation. Brett Anderson, he suffered a back injury that will sideline him for the most of the first half. But, of course, Clayton Kershaw, one of the best in the game, he's still with the squad. What do they look like this year?
Well, you're right. They still do have Kershaw, but they replaced Greinke with a pretty good pitcher, a guy by the name of Kenta Maeda, who's made two starts already for the Dodgers, and he came over from Japan in his first season. And I think he's only given up one earned run in like his first 13 innings, and he's been great so far for the Dodgers, and he's been better than Greinke, to be honest with you. Greinke struggled in his first couple starts down in Phoenix, so Dodgers, maybe they dodged the bullet there, no pun intended, because Greinke got over $200 million, and they got this guy Maeda from Japan, who's been better so far. But who knows how that'll play out over the course of the season. But the Dodgers really have struggled with their bullpen. I know, coming from a Tigers fan, that's those are familiar words. But the Dodgers bullpen has cost them two or three games so far. They've had a lot of early leads. It cost them on opening day when Maeda made the start and went six scoreless innings. And the bullpen came in and ultimately blew that game for the Dodgers. But Dodgers will have a good team. You know, they'll be competitive throughout the summer. They just got Howie Kendrick back, starting at second base. Kendrick actually rehabbed with us here in Rancho for the first four games of the season on his rehab assignment, but he proved he was ready to go. And then, of course, Adrian Gonzalez hit his first home run of the year last night. So Dodgers will be just fine.
And I want to get into the Tigers in just a sec here, Max, but to a follow-up for that, what do you foresee this upcoming year for Yasiel Puig? I know he's had, you know, some off the field issues, but he's getting back now and trying to get his mind on the right track. And any players to look out for that could be called up from the Quakes?
Well, Yasiel Puig is a heck of a player. He's 394 already in his first nine games with a home run and four RBIs. He's a tremendous talent. He actually played for the Quakes. Obviously, I wasn't there then, but a couple of years ago, he came up with Rancho in our farm system and on our team, and he played at Lomart Field. And, you know, I think he only played 10 games there, and then he was ready to move up to AA. I mean, that's how good he was. And
right.
You mentioned the off-field issues. You know, that's just, unfortunately, we see that too often in baseball and all sports today. But Puig seems to have tamed himself so far this season. He's been playing great, and he's really been playing well defensively as well out in the outfield. And he seems to have put those behind him for the time being. And if he can, man, he can be an MVP-type player for the Dodgers.
Certainly.
Also, somebody you
right.
said to look out for, the Quakes.
Yes.
You know, it's very unusual to make the jump from high A right to the majors. The only player that I can think of that comes to mind that has done that is Rick Porcello, who did it for the Tigers a number of years ago. He played in high A Lakeland, and he never pitched in double A or triple A. He just went right to the majors, and that was very, very uncommon. But for us, we got a lot of good prospects. We got an outfielder by the name of Johan Meiseis, who may find his way at Chavez Ravine in L.A. in a couple years. We just signed a free agent, or I'd say we, the Dodgers, signed an international free agent by the name of Yusnael Diaz. Got $15.5 million from Cuba, kind of a similar situation of Puig. They signed him out of Cuba. He hit .348 for his junior national team in Cuba last year, coming over stateside now. He's a good prospect to watch. Also got a pitcher by the name of Brock Stewart, who's only given up one earned run in his first two starts over 14 innings. And then, you know, we got a guy by the name of Josh Spores, who his brother Jay Spores actually pitched in the Tigers organization a couple of years ago. And Spores is one of the top Dodgers prospects as well. So we got a lot of good guys to keep an eye on here on Rancho, and that's what keeps it all fun and interesting.
All right. Well, Max, let's talk Tigers now. Of course, the Tigers are engaging in the final game of interleague play against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Right now, the Tigers do lead in the top of the fourth, 2-0. The Tigers currently sit 5-2, third in the American League Central. What do you foresee when it comes to this Tigers baseball team, Max? It was a rough start for the bullpen when you talk about the beginning of the year. But what do you think of this Tigers team this season?
I think they're much improved, Al, to be honest with you. And I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but I really like the job the new general manager, Al Avila, did in the offseason. You know, he was able to sign a top-of-the-rotation guy in Jordan Zimmermann. That's an instant help. And then with the rest of that rotation, if you can get 30 starts from Anibal Sanchez and he's healthy, that is going to be a huge plus. He has not made 30 starts in, man, I think it's been 6 or 7 years since he's really pitched his full slate of games. He's right. Never done it with the Tigers. He's off to a great start this year. If he can stay healthy, that'll be a big plus as well. Obviously, Verlander struggled a little bit, but he is finally healthy at least. So you have that to work with. And then Shane Green. I'm a big Shane Green guy. Tigers acquired him a couple of years ago from the Yankees in a three-team deal in which they sent left-handed pitcher Robbie Ray over to Arizona. And Green came aboard, and we all know what he did last year. Those first three starts were terrific. Didn't allow an earned run and was 3-0 out of the gate. But then he had a blood clot issue in his throwing shoulder, and that kind of shut him down for the rest of the year, and he struggled. But I've always been a big Shane Green guy. I think he's terrific. We saw it last night when he walked a couple in the first inning and gave up a couple runs. He gave up one hit over his last five innings of work last night, and he was terrific. And then, you know, that's for the rotation. And then you got the outfield, finally got, you know, a key bat out there in Justin Upton. He'll make a difference. And then the bullpen, you know, you can't ignore the improvements in the bullpen. K-Rod, obviously, you know, one of the best closers in the game. He's locking down that ninth inning now. Justin Wilson, I think, is one of the best left-handed relievers in all of baseball. Tigers were able to get him from the Yankees. And then they signed Mark Lowe as well to be their three guys in the back end of the bullpen. So I really think the Tigers will be improved this year. You know, whether that's going to be enough to overtake the world champions Kansas City in the AL Central, I'm not sure. But I definitely right. think they'll be very competitive. And I don't think, assuming that they stay healthy, I don't think we'll see any selling at the deadline like we did last year.
Yeah, that's the key, Max. And again, I've always said for this team to win the World Series, it's a revamped bullpen will have to be an asset for the first time since, what, like 2006. And not once since that pennant-winning campaign has Detroit had a bullpen ERA better than the AL relief average. All right, Max, well, I'll tell you what, we're running out of time here. How can those that want to listen to your work, how can they do so?
That's easy, Al. All you got to do is go to rcquakes.com and click on the Listen Live button on our website, or if you download the iHeartRadio app on your cell phone or tablet, or the TuneIn Radio app on your cell phone or tablet. All you have to do is search for Fox Sports 1350, Fox Sports 1350. That's our flagship station here in Southern California, and that's how you'll be able to listen to us all season long.
Absolutely fantastic. And, Max, do you guys have a game this evening or this upcoming weekend? What's the schedule look like?
Yeah, we're hitting the road for seven straight games here in a couple hours. We had a seven-game homestand to start the year, and we're headed to Lake Elsinore here in a couple hours. Started a seven-game roadie.
Hey, safe travels, my friend. We will certainly have you on in the future throughout this summer, all right? Max Gunn, radio broadcaster and media relations assistant for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes baseball team, the Advanced Day affiliate for the L.A. Dodgers. Max, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it, man. Keep going at it. I love the show.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Max.
Take care.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with Brett's Bonehead Moves. That's right, Brett Cass will join me live in studio. I wonder who's a bonehead in the world of sports this week. That and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, just 5 minutes left in the show. It is Thursday, and we love to invite Current Sports production assistant Brett Cass to the show to take the edge off the week, almost the weekend. Thank goodness. It's beautiful outside, too. Supposed to be 70 degrees this weekend. You know where I'll be. That's right. on the golf course, baby. I cannot wait for that. Saturday morning, you can catch me at the links, all right? But in the meantime, we got business to handle. Brett Cass, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Al. Thanks for having me.
I love this segment. Right. Brett's Bonehead Moves, where you look at the world of sports and sort of dive into, really, who is a bonehead in the world of sports. So let's cue the music first.
That's right, you clumsy bonehead.
All right, bro, what you got for us this week?
All right, well, first up, a television station in Houston just put this out, a local TV station. They did a poll with their viewers. The Houston Rockets are the eighth seed playing Golden State Warriors in the first round. They did a poll to see how far fans thought the Rockets would go. And they listed all the options to the finals, winning the finals, to the Western Conference finals. And 100% of the voters said lose to the Warriors in the first round, which is, I guess, they're smart fans for that. But at the same time, they don't have any faith in their team and boneheaded by the station to even do that poll when they have to know it's going to be very lopsided.
And this in Houston. Well, this is in Houston.
Yeah,
though.
this is all Houston.
And they went against
fans.
Their own team.
I mean, if it was the Pistons, if they did a Cavs Pistons thing, I'd say the same thing about the Pistons.
Well, I'm riding or dying with my Pistons, so I'll probably be the only vote voting for the Pistons. But that's crazy. 100%. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no loyalty out there.
Oh,
right?
Not at all. The next is, do you remember soccer player Zinedine Zidane?
Of course, the headbutt guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, now he is the coach of Real, I believe it's Real Madrid.
Yep.
And speaking out after his 100th game, or 100th day as the coach, they had a 3-0 win. And they were kind of asking him about what it's like to be a coach and the difference between, you know, being a coach and a player and everything. He said, quote, "There can be difficult moments, but you must be relaxed when that happens. You should not go crazy, as anything can happen in football. I never lost my head as a player and will never do so as a coach." Which, of all players ever,
right,
to ever say a statement like that, he's the one that...
I never lost my head, even though he had like a vicious headbutt in the World Cup. Remember that, Isaac? That was
2006 against Italy. He was provoked, apparently, and head the guy right in the chest. Immediate red card. They went on to lose that game in penalties, and he's probably the reason why.
Yeah, I remember that, watching that. No, my jaw was on the floor. Yeah. So he must kind of an ironic quote there.
Yeah, he must have kind of forgot that happened. I don't know. But the next one, some reporter, I just kind of saw this on Twitter, Brad Gagnon.
Okay.
He's a national NFL columnist for Bleacher Report, contributor to Awful Announcing, CBS Sports. Anyway, he was at a...
contributor to Awful Announcing. Go back.
Yeah, it's what it says, contributor at
on
his Twitter.
It's a website. Yeah.
It's a website.
Good.
Oh, you don't know? Heard of Awful Announcing.
That's where I actually got this from. So.
I've been living under a rock. Okay.
Well, anyway, he was at, I believe it was a Blue Jays game, might have been a Rays game, but he took a picture of the fan, a woman in front of him at a baseball game, and was Googling, how long does a baseball game last?
No.
Apparently,
really?
Did not want to be at the baseball game very long.
That's great. Yeah.
And last but not least, so for the Mariners, had a walk-off home run in the 10th inning against the Rangers, and Dae Ho Lee had the walk-off home run, and back in Korea, the announcers went pretty crazy. So, yeah, maybe be a little more calm and collected if that happens next time.
No, please lose your mind every time, whoever those announcers are. That was absolutely fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Brett, thanks so much. Pub yourself. I mean, how can people listen and read your work as well?
Like I said, we're doing Focal Point with the Michigan State Newscast, and we're on YouTube, Focal Point MSU, and you can also listen to I Have a Talk Show every Sunday morning from 10 to 11, Sports Talk Show on 88.9 FM. That's Impact, and it's called The Pact Sports Talk Show.
Brett does a great job. Brett, thank you so much, my friend. All right, we unfortunately are out of time. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Thanks so much to Max Gunn for joining me on today's Current Sports, and to you out there for listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Have a great afternoon, and be easy, people.